The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
It's a little later, but it's past. We made it through. You might want to turn me down because I'm going to be all turned up right now. Naturally. Well, it's good to be here. It's good to see some veteran faces and some fresh faces and some happy faces and some not so happy faces. But we're here, amen? You know, God has been good and He gave us another year. Here we are, 2015, embarking into a new series called Build. I believe Jerry or Jeremiah will be starting that series. I'm just going to kind of open it up with a New Year's message on how us as people can make New Year's resolutions, right? And we keep them all year. I know what you mean. So anyways, let's read our scripture for the morning. Our text I will be coming, bringing the word out of, and then we'll jump around from there, and then we'll pray after I read the scripture. Well, I'm going to read out of Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. I call this sermon, In with the New and Out with the Old. And I wanted to call it that because I want to really emphasize bringing in this new year how we need to work on some things in our lives. But God is looking for people that are committed and consistent. And if we can do that starting this year, it'd be a good thing for you personally in your life. And some of you are probably already doing it. Some of you have been committed and consistent. Well, God is still calling you to another level. You never get there. As pastors and leaders, we just continue pressing forward, moving forward and growing until Christ comes back. Amen? Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. I will be reading out of an NLT translation. I really like that one, NLT. Reads like this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. The sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Verse 3. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them, and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Verse 5, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he said, and he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshipers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Let's pray. God, we thank you, and we praise you, and we worship you this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us this morning, God, that you would just give us a revelation of what we need to grasp here this morning from your word and from the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill this room, fill our minds and our hearts, God. Let us put all the last year and what this week and yesterday might have had, put it aside and just focus on right now and on forward and moving forward, God. So we praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I am calling this sermon, like I said, in with the new, out with the old. And I say that because most people, Christians or even non-Christians, that start a new year always make a new resolution or a New Year's resolution, and we say things we're going to do or try to work on. And for me, and I put this, it's kind of like a new smell of a new car. How many of you have bought a new car? You know the smell, right? It's there for a little bit. You can't wait to get in it because it smells so good. But after a while, it goes away, doesn't it? It goes away. And we can be that way. It goes away. Also, as people, we like new things. Some of you like new things, right? I don't want a used shirt or a new used pant. We want new. We want some new shoes, a new pant, new house. Smells good, feels good, right? We like to get new things. Have you ever seen your little kids? For some of you that you tell them, hey, look, I'm going to buy you this toy. Wow, their eyes sparkle, man. They're right there like a little puppy serving you like a little slave. But they're little kids. And I was that little kid, and I raised some little kids, and we all did it as kids. After a while, we'd forget. And the new toy. Oh, yeah, yeah, the new toy. Yeah, yeah. Right? We can be that way. Our walk with Christ can be that way. We'll forget. We'll dwindle. This verse is the returning of Jesus Christ, obviously. This is the return of the kingdom of God and God living with us and Jesus being there with us. But this is something we should all be longing and waiting for. Yeah, we have life. We have life to face and face things in life. But the first and utmost thing we should be longing for and waiting for is the return of our Savior. That's the most important thing. Maybe we should start working and practicing on beginning this year of who Jesus is and how we should live for Christ. We should be wanting and longing for Him. Jesus said, I am making everything new. I've pondered on that scripture there in Revelation. Of course, it's prophetic. Of course, it's things to come. But I ask myself, a lot of these things I'm going to say are questions I ask my own heart, my own life, my surroundings, my walk with Christ. Why? Why would He say, I make all things new? This is just me paraphrasing my mind, my concept of why Jesus would say that to His people that are going to live there. Because you know what? As people, we hold on to stuff. We don't like to let go of things, words, actions, things that happen to us. We'll hold on to them. And that's why I believe Jesus is going to wipe it all new. Bible's clearly, we're going to know each other in heaven, obviously. But all those things we want to probably cling on to or bring into the kingdom of God, it won't be there. We just read it. It's all going to be new. But folks, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. This year, beginning 2015, you can work on that now. You can say, okay, God, I probably blew it this last year. I'm going to give it to you this time. I want to give it all. Amen? Be like that smell of the new car all the time. Don't just smell like a new car for a little bit. And then you're in another surrounding and act like the old smell of the old car. Got to have the new smell all the time. Did you know, folks, that this is scripture too, biblical. When you go through stuff and you struggle and you suffer and you go through some hardships, the Bible says those are aromas to God. And especially when you walk through it and you go victoriously and just trust Him through that hardship, there's sweet aromas to God. You need to remember that coming into this new year. There's sweet aromas to Him. Our lives are a new beginning, and they can't be like the new smell of the new car. Let me ask you this. I wrote this question for myself. Can you remember entering 2014 last year, what your New Year's resolution was, what you said you would do? And how did that work out for you? Did you follow through? Don't have to answer, please. Please, I know my answer, right? We can't even remember some of what we wished for, prayed for, wanted, like the smell of the new car. Went away. Right? Last year, we all had our shares of hurts, tears, afflictions, and calamities. Because I went through those things. That's why I write a lot of these notes I put in here. And then I look for scripture to tie it into so God would speak to you as well in the same way He speaks to me and to all of us. See, I'm no more than you. Jerry or Jeremiah, up here, we're no more than you. We're with you. We're like you. We're all the same. We're human. And we all struggle. And we all suffer. And we all go through stuff. Hello. Welcome to Christianity. Think of what Jesus went through. He was just trying to get to the cross. Actually die. We need to die to self. Those old things, those old ways of 2014 needs to stop. It needs to stop, folks. And I know we went through some hard stuff, and we need to learn to move forward. progress. Look at what it says in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. It says this, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I can't consider myself a winner yet. This is what I do. I don't look back. I lengthen my stride and I run straight toward the goal to win the prize that God's heavenly call offers in Christ Jesus. See, as we embark into this new year, we are to stay focused. I underlined where it says, I don't look back. Maybe that's why Jesus says, I'm wiping everything new. Don't look back, folks. You'll be stuck. Don't look back. I underlined another part of that verse where it's, I lengthen my stride. Oh, man, I don't want to be here Victory at 8 and set up, but I'm here. Oh, my wife doesn't quite like it. We're tired today, but we're lengthening our stride. Amen? Oh, here comes that guy. Same problem, same subject he wants to ask me about. But you know what? You got to keep going. Some of us are taking these little baby steps. Some of us are taking a step back, trying to run from it. No, it says lengthen your stride. Also, I underline straight. Run straight. Some of us want to veer off and turn the other way or go try something else or go try this or that and not God's word and the life of Jesus Christ. You got to go straight, folks. This is biblical. I'm reading what God would want for us. I believe what I'm going to share with you this morning is a good New Year's resolution to start with in your spiritual life, in your walk as a believer in God. Through all your struggles, through all your calamities, through all those wants, desires, and hurts, this is going to be a good setup and a good setup for the series that's starting up on building up. Not just letting the building rot and not grow, not working at it. Because if you let it there, it's going to get stale. Your life will be stale. And of course, there's grumpy people, but you know what? Pray for them. You don't have to let them pull you down to their level. Because we all have those people around us that always want to bog you down, want to knock down your little building, your building in Christ, your walk with Christ, the foundation of our Lord. Listen, folks, the foundation is there already. It's Jesus. This is our foundation. You're already standing on solid ground, the solid rock, Jesus Christ. All our job is to do is lengthen our stride, keep going straight, keep going forward. Don't look back. Only Jesus can make all things new. So stay committed and consistent. I put that in there a lot, committed and consistent. There are several things we need to work on entering this new year and stay committed. And I put this because we can be more committed to other things. We're more dedicated to other things other than coming to church, reading your Bible, praying. They're so more important than this. And God kind of frowns on that. He should be first. And I know I like doing things. I like going out. I like practicing at home, my drums. And I like working out and just other things. But my wife is witness. I hardly have time for that. Why? Because now I have a new ministry. I have a wife. I'm tending to her first and then getting into God's word and sharing and feeding off each other. Now we text all day about scriptures and stuff. I love it. It's awesome having a godly wife that's on the same page with you, that prays with you, that hurts with you, that empathizes with you. Because I have a past. She has a cleaner record than I do. Not putting anything on the level, but I come from a very dark, long history of bad things. But Jesus is making new things, and we're learning together, building our marriage in Christ. Amen? And that's what's going to make it work. And these are the several things we need to work on. First, we need to read our Bibles, folks. We need to read our Bibles. What, Frank? This book can actually change my life? Save my marriage? Cut my addictions? Help me with my rent? Love that uncle that can't be loved? Kill my doubt? Yes. Try it. Change me? Any one of you at any given time away from here, confront me. Ask me. Be glad to tell you. It's all Jesus. I was lost and tore up, and I thought I had it right because the world made it look right. And my surroundings just sucked me in. And I did a lot of not good things this past year as a Christian man that I needed to work on, and I need to continually work on and stay committed and consistent. We need to read our Bible. Last year, how many of you at least one time sat down and read a whole chapter? Don't have to answer these, please. They're rhetorical questions. Something to chew on for this coming year. How many of you sat down and read a chapter? Grabbed your Bible one day and just read a chapter. Don't have to do theology on it and take all these notes and write a sermon. And if you want to, share it with me. Maybe I'll use it. But sit down, folks. Again, my wife is my witness. I'm up very early on Sundays, 4 or 5 in the morning, praying for this body, for you and me, for God to speak to us and change our ways. I stand transparent here. This is what I do. This is my call, is to intercede and prayerfully people get it. Like I'm getting it, like God's working in me, he's working in you. Oh, but you know, I just do this and I don't work and I have a job. No, it doesn't matter. You're a Christian everywhere you go. You're a saint. You're a light. You're a beacon. You're a hope for someone. You're not all probably all pastors. I consider myself just a man that ministers, that loves Jesus, and that has a past that can touch people's lives. That's what I want to do this year. And obviously, I've been doing it last year too. That's my passion, is to reach people. You got to read your word. We must read God's word to smell like that new car. And it will heal broken lives. Your souls get thirsty and dry and lonely and hurt. Read his word. Look at Proverbs 4. This is the lineup of a proverb verse after verse. That's a good New Year's resolution for all of us. Read your Bible. Proverbs 4, 21 and 22 says this. Don't lose sight of them. Very first words, don't lose sight of them. Because once you start putting your word aside and talking about other things and hanging out in other areas and doing things that aren't godly, you're going to get dry. You're going to dry up. You're going to dwindle and walk away. Don't lose sight of them, it says. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to the whole body. The whole body, folks. I grasped that and I believed it because I was sick from here to there. I was full of myself. I was full of pride. I was full of anger. I was full of drugs and dope and lying and cheating. Anger was number one that led to all those things. But I started reading his word and applying it and trusting it. And that's what changed my life. And that's what I want for my New Year's, is get more into his word. Learn more of what God wants for me. And I'll come up here and share it with you. We need to read our Bibles. I wasted many years, but God never gave up on me. So why should I give up? Right? He hasn't given up on you. You're here. You're coming. You're fighting the good fight. Don't give up, folks. Read Revelation. The battle's been won. We just have an enemy that's just there pulling. They're just bringing you down and neglect you and judge you. You keep going, striding forward. We do have an enemy, folks, and all he wants to do is wrestle you down. The Bible says we wrestle against principalities. It doesn't kill you, just wrestles you down. And you get back up and it wrestles you down. Read your word. Go back off a little bit. Learn to live for Jesus. You have to read your Bible. Well, what do I read and why should I read it? Number two, this is why. Because it'll guard your heart. It'll guard your heart. It'll guard your heart. All things we decided last year were brought from the course of our choices. All the things we did last year were brought from the course of the choices we made from our heart. Everything we decide, we think, we plan, it hits the brain, but it comes through the heart. This is what I tell a lot of people, and I always share it with my wife, is that I just need to talk with someone for a little bit, and what's in their heart, that's what's coming out of their mouth, it's what's in their heart. Amen? You can know people right away, and you'll know where you're at. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm just talking this other stuff. My heart's a little far from you, God. I better stride forward towards you. See, it's in the heart, folks. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Decisions come from the heart. And our hearts have been through a lot. I know we have. And I'm going to read some of the ones I wrote that I've been through in these past few years, including last year. I put this, asking you the question to your heart. How does one handle, you don't have a job anymore, you're fired. How does one handle, we're taking this car from you, you can't make the payment. How does one handle, we're taking your kids away from you, you're an unfit parent. How does one handle, you have to give me that house back, but thanks for renting it. How does one handle a phone call from a friend of 10 years that cuts you off for a lie? How does one handle your loved one's gonna die? Guard your heart. Folks, I've been through all those. I've lived those things. And what kept me going, striding forward? It wasn't easy. God's word. Trusting and reading. Applying. Yes, it was hard. It's not easy. You think that cross Jesus carried was light? That's how much he loves us. It was a heavy cross. He took a beating for me and you to be here right now listening to God's word and still being preached and taught so we can get it. That we are going to have some hardships, but if you guard your heart, it's going to be a softened up a little bit. Yeah, these things hurt me when they happen, but I continued my stride. Yeah, the enemy and self was there telling me, quit. You're not going to make it. You're worthless. You don't even know how to speak. Why are you teaching? You can't even counsel. And trust me, there was times I met with some of you, and I told some of you couples, gosh, I don't know what to tell them, God. They're going to be here 5 minutes. And those were the best sessions I had, because you know why? It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. Less of us, more of him. When it's tough, he's right there. Don't try to control it. Just go with it. It's a little scary for me to get up here still after all these years. But once I get going, the Holy Spirit, the love starts coming out. I want to be that tool. And if this kind of body language means something, I don't know what this means. Maybe he's pouring into you. I don't know. But I don't care. I'm a fool for Christ. I'll get on my knees before the congregation. Whatever it takes. So you folks get it. And grasp it. Read your Bible. Guard your heart. Look what it says in the very next verse of Proverbs 4, verse 23. Guard your hearts above all else, for it determines the course of your life. See, we must trust our hearts with Jesus. I said it earlier. Everything you decided last year, all those good and bad choices came from your heart. And the bad ones came because we weren't spiritually being discerned by his word, or seeking someone to pray for you, or seeking someone to help you through counseling or through a friend's word. Of a prophetic word or revelation word that someone, a friend could lift you up and say, you know what, you're right, I should try that. This might work for me. Absolutely. Because it's God's divine time to use each other to speak to each other and encourage each other and help each other. God is unity, folks. We must guard our hearts. And he'll always, trust him. He'll always be there. He'll always be there. Thirdly, and this is a tough one for all of us, we must guard our mouth. Guard our mouth. This is another question I ask my heart and my mouth. Now I ask you. It's your turn. How healthy were your words this past year? How healthy were your words last year? How healthy was your verbal sessions you had with people, loved ones, co-workers? How healthy were they? God was there listening. The Holy Spirit's there. When we use perverse words or words that hurt, they will damage a person. I've had people in my past, including ex-wives that I had. I hurt them and damaged them. There's one personally that I'll keep names anonymous that some of you in this room might know who she is, but she's an ex of mine. She was a sweet girl until she met me. This is before Christ, of course. She hardly cussed. She didn't drink or smoke. And boy, did I damage her. I damaged her. God forgave me, and now he's using me. See, what happened way years ago is being testified right now. Ministering to you, for someone you know, or yourself. To guard your mouth. Words hurt, folks. If we're in the image of God, grasp this, if we're his image, in the beginning, God spoke, and things were. Words are powerful. They're for lifting up or tearing down. Words are more powerful than slapping someone. I firmly believe that. I was in a lot of fights in my past as a youngster, but I can remember vividly and clearly the words I hurt people and who they were. My verbal wasn't very healthy years ago till Jesus came and made all things new. And he's still working in me. I have a lot of flaws, folks. And you do too. Don't feel like you're all holy-roly over there. Don't get pious on me, you guys. We all need work. God is very serious about how we talk and communicate with each other, especially our loved ones. Look at Proverbs 4:24, the following verse, same chapter. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. A little kid understands that. Jesus said even a little kid will understand the Bible. Look at the next verse, Psalms 34:12-13. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. You're telling me, Frank, that because I'm going to talk better now and praise God and trust him through all my hardships and learn to love people and hopefully not lip back, I'm going to even live longer and healthier? Voila. He has kept me so healthy and strong. I can do things still as I did as a young man, but it's him. I love playing the drums. I have all this energy. It's not mine. It's Jesus Christ. It's his energy that fills me and I seek for and hunger for. That's what will keep you going. But when you seek your energy and your strength through other venues and using those wrong words, you're not going to make it. You're not going to be strong in Christ. But you'll feel good after you told them. I told them, huh? See if they ever tell me anything. That's not of God. The best thing to walk away out of a tough conversation is say, you know what? Thank you, God, that you used me. I pray that person was ministered to. It didn't end very well, God, but I trust you. See, there's two ways to take a conversation or a communication with someone. How healthy was our verbal sessions last year? Our verbal talks. Look at the last one, Matthew 4:25. This is Jesus. Look at what he calls the religious leaders, you brood snakes. Can be snakes sometimes. This is believers that say, you brood of snakes. How could you evil men like to speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. We gotta guard our mouth, folks. It determines what's in here. That's why God knows right away who we're at when we're talking. He goes, oh, that little brother and sister needs some work here. I'll probably put so-and-so in their life and maybe they'll get it. I'll hopefully keep them coming to Remnant and hear from God and they'll be spoken to. We got to guard our mouths, folks. God is very serious on this subject. This year, maybe it's time to change the way we use words. This is the year, folks. Start using uplifting words. Start shutting up when you have to. My wife, Olivia, doesn't know this, but I'm going to say it now. There's times I want to verbally say something back, and she's my witness. Sometimes I do say something back. But a lot of times I say, okay, God, I'm gonna stay quiet on this one. I'll just hear her out and do what she says. She's laughing. I don't know if it's true or not. That didn't look good. She always laughs. She has a beautiful smile and a beautiful laugh. I love her dearly. Fourth, from guarding our mouth, we have to focus on vision. We must keep our eyes forward and following Jesus. Jesus is our vision. Isn't there a no hymnal called, Be Thou My Vision? There's a no hymnal? Thank you. He's our vision. What are you looking forward to? Things or Jesus? What's your goal? What's your vision? What has your attention? Things or Jesus? I want Jesus to be my vision. Every day I wake up, before my feet hit the ground, when I roll out of there, because I'm getting older, I say, Jesus, here I come. I'm hitting the floor and I want to serve you. Then I waddle to the restroom or wherever I got to go do. Bones are stiffening in this cold weather. We need to focus on our visions. And I wrote these down. If we live our lives looking in the past, we will never progress. If we live our lives looking at others and judging them, we will never progress. If we live our lives worrying about everything, we will never progress. If we live our lives looking at ungodly things on the internet or things we shouldn't be looking at, we'll never progress. That's another thing we can work on this year. Your eyes, folks. Your vision. What has your attention? What are you spending more time looking at? I work in an office and I look at a screen almost 80% of my day, sometimes 60. But half of that, I'm guilty. I'm studying, reading, looking for stuff to talk about, questions you guys have, books, whatever, other teachings I can learn from. That's the other half. You need to be looking in God's Word, looking for God all the time. Well, you know what, Frank? I work a lot. I have a lot of hours. I hardly have any time. I hardly see my kids, my wife. I work all day, folks, and I'm with Jesus and talking with God all day. There is no excuse, folks. I've told you before, I'm walking to the warehouse. I'm talking with God. Okay, God, I got this truck to unload. Help me to unload it quickly and safely. Let me not mess up. I'm talking with God all the time. And when I'm done, I say in my mind, God, let me talk to this man. I hope he brings up God or something so I can tell him about your son, Jesus. This is how you should be thinking all the time, because all that other clutter is going to push the word of God and his spirit and everything else out, and you're going to be spiritually dead and undiscerned and dried up and hurting and just taking anything on and just not caring. To think about Jesus all the time. Gosh, we're here because of him. He gave us the life we have. The home you have, the cars you drive, your job, these shoes you're wearing, the clothes, it's his. He's letting us borrow it. Because James says we're just a vapor. Here one day and then gone. Life goes fast, folks. Make this year your year. Make this year your year. Guard your mouth. Vision is important. We are so focused on the way the world works and the way of the world and the things of the world. We'll lose sight. Look at Proverbs 4:25. Very first words, look straight ahead. And fix your eyes on what lies before you. How do we do that? I put a big, how do I do that? There's my verse, and I put in bold letters, how do I do that? Look at Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3. How do we do? Look forward and straight and live for Jesus? This year, 2015, Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, discarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. People are walking away, giving up, not fully serving Christ, and going through struggles because you're choosing to, because it's right there. Your focus is somewhere else. You're looking at something else. Something else has your attention. Something else is worrying you more. Something else is bogging you down. I underlined it. Think of all the hostility he went through. See, what we're living and going through and are going to face this year, it's not even about us. It's about what Jesus did on the cross. If he went through some stuff, we're going to go through some stuff. And sinful people are attacking him. We're going to get attacked. And I underlined the ending of that verse and said, then you won't become weary and give up. See, people give up because you're looking at other things. Something else has your attention. You lose vision. Folks, I will tell you something honestly, standing here transparent before this whole congregation. If I told Jerry and Jeremiah, you know what, guys, I'm going to sit down now. I don't want to pastor for a year or two. And I completely put this Bible aside. I would dwindle away. I would start just doing ungodly things. And guess what? I will tear down my wife and bring her down with me. We're human. There's sin in us that needs to be dealt with. It's ever lurking and waiting for its opportunity. But if you stay focused, if you work on these things in your life, it's going to be okay. Are we perfect people? No. But Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. He's the finisher and the author of our lives. We're living this life because he chose it for us. But daily we make those choices to veer off or keep going forward. Daily we choose to, oh, you know what? I kind of like this. I don't have time for that Bible study right now. And I'm going to probably watch this better. I'll do it next week. You're already dishonoring yourself, including God. You're kicking him to the curb. We need to not lose vision, folks. This new year, let's look forward and keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's not lose sight. Another thing we can work on is correct our path. Correct our path. Last year, we're just going through life. No. My life is good. I'm okay. I don't need anything. Bible study, whatever. Okay, I'll go once a month. I'll buy a Bible and make it look real. I'll say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and I'll sound like a good Christian. I'll buy Converse like most of Remnant wears, and I'll look like them too. I had to throw that one in there, guys. I love Converse. We do that. We just lived aimlessly, wandering around. And this one's going to hurt, but I've done it. In my past, it always wanted to hinder me. We've been walking to places we shouldn't. Maybe passing by that little temptation at work, a coworker, the alcohol, the whatever, your glitches. We go and play with it. You stand by the pool, you're going to get wet. Stay away from the pool of the world. Get it, the pool of the world. It'll pull you in. It dishonors God. Where have your feet been wandering? There's a girl at work, good friend now. I put her in her place from the get-go. And Olivia knows. She was the first person I told. She was always there flirting. It got to the point where I told her, you need to go put a shirt on to cover up. Don't come in my office. Because she saw my scriptures. I believe it was the enemy just using her. And she stopped. The boss made her go home and change. The guys at work, come on, Frank, one beer. Come hang out with us. We're going to go to Mex, have some tequilas and the girls. No one's going to know. This was before my marriage, of course, and I haven't shared this part with Olivia, but I think I've told her some of these stories. But they were always inviting me to Mex because most of the guys are from Mex and Calexico, and they all cheat on their wives, and they're all big drinkers, and they boast about their night before and all this stuff. And I work with these guys. I just smile and say, no thanks. But like I've told you before, there's been other moments where one at a time, we're walking in my office, it's like a little puppy. Frank, please pray for me. My son is sick. Frank, please pray for me. My wife wants to leave me. Frank, please pray for me. My daughter's ill. Right? You stand firm. Don't know you. A couple of years back now, 2 years, maybe a year and a half till now, they don't invite me anymore. They respect God, not me. They respect who I stand for. And they're seeing it. They always say, you're always smiling. You don't cuss. You don't get angry. The boss chooses you out. You're still smiling in your office. What do I say? It's Jesus. It's nothing with me. I'm just a loser, man, saved by grace. And so are you. So it's doable, folks. It's doable. This year, it's doable. But let me tell you one thing before I move on to the last point. The window of grace is going to close, folks. You better get it right now. Because some of us can say, oh, I'm going to wait toward the end. I'm going to wait till the last moment. I see him coming now. I'm going to say, confess and repent. Will you be saved? I don't know. I know I don't want to be found in that place. You know what my prayer is? That he shows up when we're drumming or praying with one of you. We're talking about him, even in my sleep. I dream I'm praying for people and praying against demons and chasing people and for Jesus in my dreams. That's God. I think I kicked my wife the other night. I don't know what I was doing that night. She woke up like this. What's wrong? Well, you kicked me a little bit. I apologized. But we're growing and learning with each other. Amen? We must correct our paths, folks. Proverbs 4:25, mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe side. It's right there. It's a good section of Proverbs right there to apply this year, folks. Mark out a straight path. You know what that means, mark out? Commit it. I'm going to do this, God. I'm not going to flake out on you. I'm done with excuses. I'm going to give it all that I can. Amen? You have to mark it out because he's there. The path is marked out. We just got to go in his will. The path is there. Amen? We will mess up. But God is a forgiving God, and He never gives up on us. He'll never give up on you. God will always be there to help us correct our paths, but we must be genuine about it. Look at Psalms 37:23-24. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by their hand. I like that part. First, let me tell you, I underlined every detail. I like that part. Oh, God's not seeing this area. Yes, He is. It says right there, every detail. He cares about every little thing you're going through. You might not see it. We might not visually experience it, but He's concerned about it. But He wants you to work on it. And I like the towards the end of that verse where it says, I read it, will stumble but not fall. You can stumble and fall and hurt yourself, right? Some of us fall down, scratch our knees. Maybe we're jogging or running to someone at the house. You fall down. Right here, you don't fall down. This is the believer. This is the person from Remnant Church that follows Jesus and says, I belong to Remnant. We're going to stumble, but He'll grab you. You're going to stumble, but He will grab you. But the key thing is to keep going. Keep pressing. See? We're going to stumble. But He holds your hand. That's why I said earlier, there's nothing I do. It's Him working through me. It's His Holy Spirit that works through us. That we're going to stumble, but He's going to hold you up. He's not going to let you fall down. If you don't want to, if you're going to be genuine about it, if you're going to be committed and consistent about it, He will hold you up. Amen? Walking in God's Word will always lead us on the good path. Walking in God's Word will always lead us on the good path. And my last point is this. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. So many things out there to make us veer off. I've already told you earlier, co-workers inviting you to places you shouldn't be, talking about people or gossiping or just whatever that's not of God. It hurts. It hurts you first, your walk. You stain Jesus Christ. You stain your testimony. You stain your walk with God. We must not get sidetracked. What's wrong with cheating on my time card, Frank? No one's here. It's just me, you. The boss is gone. I'm going to just say I worked another hour. I don't know anything, bro. If he asks me, I'm telling him. You're out at 5, not at 6. It's okay. You can cheat on our income taxes. Who's going to know? Don't get sidetracked, folks. The world has many methods, many systems that look okay but are not. And we're all surrounded by it. Don't get sidetracked. Look at Proverbs 4:27. First thing right there. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. It's right there. It's that simple. Jesus said a little kid can understand that. We read it and we understand it. We're just choosing not to apply it. Or at least work at it. When you get hungry, you make something to eat, right? That's right. God's word is the same. The more you feed off of it, you're going to be okay. You're going to be stronger. You're going to understand what you're facing and going through and need to go through. Some of us, folks, I will say this boldly. Some of us need to be going through what we're going through to kind of get our attention. A lot of times, oh, God, why are you doing this? He did this and she did that. No. God is dealing with you first. And it might not make sense. There's a lot of things that didn't make sense for me last year that happened to me. But I kept striving. Was I complaining at times? But I got on my knees. I said, God, forgive me. Help me through this one. I did say this and I did say that. Please help me make it right. Help me to make it right. Amen? Don't get sidetracked. If the worship team will come up, Jesus said, I am making everything new. I pray, folks, that you would choose to live for Jesus this year. I wrote down some things on this paper that I asked my heart, and I will ask your heart. As we stand and we'll close here. If you want to sit there and write them down, that's fine too. It doesn't matter. You can sit there if you like. The worship team gets ready. I wrote this. Let us ask our heart as this new year begins. I ask this question to my heart. How far has Christ's purpose or sanctifying me been answered in my own case? I know that in one sense I'm completely sanctified. I know. I'm saved by Jesus. But in another case, I still feel my imperfections and infirmities and afflictions on my back. Question, how far have I progressed in sanctification of my new life in Jesus during this past year? How much has my faith increased during this year? How many of my corruptions or struggles have I overcome? How much nearer am I living for Jesus Christ now compared to last year? How much do I know my Savior? How much closer do I approach in the likeness of Him? Have I more power in prayer? Am I more careful in my life? Is my spirit more loving than it used to be? Am I more decisive for that which is right? At the same time, am I more meek in standing up for it? Am I, in all aspects, more like my master than I was a year ago? Or on the other hand, have I been going backward? Stand still. I cannot. I must either go forward in grace or go backward. Which have I been doing this past year? And I charge you, oh my heart, to whatever answers you may have, remember that you have been sanctified, but not yet attained perfection. I beg you, forget that which is behind and keep pressing forward towards Jesus, who is both the author and finisher of our faith. The Lord give you much grace that you may be sanctified wholly, body, soul, and spirit. And I pray God to preserve all of you unto His coming glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I pray, God, by Your love and Your grace over our lives, Lord, that we can start a new year seeking You fervently, genuinely, God, that we will not be faking it, that we will quit being complacent, that we will just work harder at seeking You, at reading our Bible, at guarding our mouths, our hearts, and our eyes, and where we walk, and the things we do and say, and those things that pervert us. Oh God, let us not look at worthless things. Keep us straight towards the cross. Let our vision always be You, God. Be the vision of our lives. Lord, help us through our finances. Help us in our marriages. Help us in our relationships. Help us at work. Help us physically. Help our loved ones that are sick, God. We beg You, Lord, we're right here. Sanctify us. Give us 2015 another shot, God. Let us work on a newness. Let us kick out the old and bring in the newness of You in our lives. Holy Spirit, come and fill us this new year. And let us live joyously and powerfully and fervently for You. We love You and we trust You. And God's people says, amen.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You